passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome in. It is another day on this Tuesday and a lot happening. We thank all of you for making time for us. Some fantastic guests, including one of Alabama's leading offensive linemen, joining us in just a few minutes. But let's get to some headlines here on a Tuesday afternoon. If you were watching this morning, your head had to be spinning. The NCAA president, commissioners, leaders, all pleading with Congress to save the sport by passing legislation on NIL. Meanwhile, Shane Beamer, after suffering his fourth loss of the young season, speaking to the media today, here it is.
I broke my foot on Saturday, so I'd rather just get it out there and say it and not have y'all speculating. And then after the game on Saturday in Missouri, you ask. I called Coach Tanner, told him, make sure he was okay with it, and he died laughing when I told him. So obviously there's not a lot of empathy from him. It was after the game, and certainly that was a gut-wrenching, emotional loss, and I was frustrated and kicked something that I shouldn't have kicked and thought I was okay, but adrenaline of the game wore off. And before anybody starts the narrative, like the head football coach is frustrated and lost his poise and all that, no, I care. And I care about these kids, and I was really upset on Saturday night because I didn't do enough to help them get over the hump and win the football game. So don't think I have to have surgery, but there is a broken bone in my foot. It hurts like you know what.
The producer just asked me to react to that. I don't really know what to say. I mean, this guy was laughing about it, cajoling, thinking it was like a high school frat prank. This is a head football coach at a major SEC school, and he breaks his foot in frustration. If he had shown half that effort in trying to stop Florida from blowing them to pieces at the end of that game, I think maybe the season wouldn't be on the brink and going straight down the toilet. But that was really incredible. We'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. Jimmy Himes will join us, bottom of the hour. Always good to talk to him. Jimmy Himes actually won't be here. But Vincent Bowles will, the major general on Army making the rounds this week in the SEC. Derrick Brown, the great Auburn lineman, will drop in. Peter Nakos, who covered the hearings today in Washington. And then I really don't know. I'm so confused by what we're doing. It really doesn't even matter because we'll just do whatever we have to do to entertain you on this Tuesday afternoon. Let's begin with some phone calls. And Try is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Try.
Paul. Oh, Paul. I'm with you, my man. How crazy could it possibly be right now? I don't know why. Tennessee was rocking. I was over in the Aggie section down 28 rows up. Wow. Whoever was spouting the crap of like Tennessee's not a place. Tennessee is a place. It feels like it's pinpointed right down to the T on the middle of the field.
That was Gary Danielson who did the game for CBS, who essentially said it's just another SEC stadium.
No, it's not. Not even close. Wow, Tennessee's got a place. I'm not ready to fire Jimbo, and I called you last year and said, oh, let's get Jimbo out of there. I'm not ready. Let him do his thing, and then let's go find the next coach, the next person to bring everybody in.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. How about Cody in South Carolina? Hello, Cody.
Yes. I have two questions, actually, Paul. The first one is about Oklahoma. What do you think their chances are of winning the Big 12 against Texas, beating them for the second time, and going on to winning the national – or not making the national title, but making it to the playoffs at least? And then The second one is will Dylan Gabriel win the Heisman? Does he have any shot at that?
Well, I think he does have a shot. Yes, Cody. I mean, if Oklahoma is competing for the Big 12 championship and they remain undefeated, I think he would be in serious consideration. And I don't know how to handicap the Texas rematch. I mean, I thought Texas had really a lot of opportunities to win that game, but that's a long way off. I do appreciate your call very, very much. Rick is in Houston. You're on the air. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. How are you, sir?
Very well. Thank you.
Saw a little blurb today that said Jalen Milroe's not worried about Tennessee's sack numbers. Said they're going to have a lot of fun. I tell you what, I'm beginning to believe that LSU's going to have a chance against Alabama here in a couple, 3 weeks. And I tell you one thing you better be worried about is the human heat-seeking missile that's called Harold Perkins.
Well, Rick, again, when you listen to what players say, I mean, they're just trying to be on message. I'm not sure that's often how they really feel. But appreciate the call. Great to hear from you. Let's check out Bash in Boulder.
Good afternoon, Paul Feinbaum. How are you doing today?
Fine.
That is great to hear. I know... before I get started, I just want to start by saying, sending thoughts and prayers to the Israel and Palestine conflict that's going on, and just wanted to start my phone call off with that before I get started. I know everyone wants me to address the collapse of the century that involved Colorado and Stanford over this past weekend, but before I get to that, Paul Feinbaum, or we can get to that another day, I need to address AC from Bangladesh remarks that he made last week where he, quote, called me white trash. Is that okay if I can address that remark?
It is your phone call, Bash.
Thank you, Paul. Now, the real reason that I go by Bash and Boulder, Paul, is because my real name is Bashir. And you know more than anybody else that no man needs more than two ears, so that's why I pretty much went by Bash. My parents named me Bashir because they were born in Israel, and they were Palestinian, and they moved to good old Montgomery, Alabama, where I was born, and I grew up as a lifelong Alabama Crimson Tide fan. And having college football in my life throughout all the years of what's been going on recently and what's been going on for decades has been one of the things that has been a blessing in my life. And throughout those years, I have been called so many names that make white trash seem like one of the softest, most gentle insults I've ever been called in my life.
Well, Bashir, if that's why you spent the first 3 minutes of this call on that, what else do you have to say?
I just wanted to address AC to his ear, if he's listening to this, that AC, your remark by calling me white trash just showed that despite everything that's going on right now, no matter what color you are the biggest piece of trash that has ever breathed air on this great show that is the Paul Feinbaum Show. And Paul, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to address those remarks and
Jay is up next in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Roll Tide, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I want to talk about Georgia as far as the Brock Bowers injury. Paul, he's a playmaker. Georgia will definitely miss him.
Well, I don't think there's any question. I mean, that's why we're that's why so many people. I mean, they have really good backups, but he is better than all of them combined.
Yeah, he's a playmaker. And that quarterback, that hit he put on that kid from Vanderbilt after he intercepted, that was scary, Paul. I give him props for the effort, but I wouldn't recommend doing that too much in SEC. He'll be on the injury list with Bowers.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Why don't we take a break? We are heading to that. Some guests will start dropping by here in a moment. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, and Rusty Manziel joining us, talking about Brock Bowers, Tyler Booker, the Alabama lineman, General Bowles, Derrick Brown, Panther defensive lineman, former Auburn star, and Pete Nakos, who covered the clown show in Washington today. Let's get your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and Jeff is up next in Indiana. Hello, Jeff. Jeff, you there? How about Gooch in Oxford? Hey, Gooch.
Hey, Paul. I just called in. Just wanted to check in on some old callers. Thought about you the other day. When y'all come into Oxford?
I would say the A&M game is a possibility. There aren't many more opportunities, though.
Yeah, it's going to be a big crowd that weekend. I got lots of friends coming for that as well.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever happened to Dr. Lee May?
What was that?
You remember Dr. Lee May, the guy that you used to fly on his plane to go see Robert?
Larry Limack, sure.
Yeah. Are they all doing well? You ever hear from him?
You know, I talked to Dr. Limack about a year ago. He seemed like everything was going great. He's one of the noted orthopedic surgeons. He and Jim Andrews were in practice together for many, many years, and they took care of Auburn and a lot of other sports franchises. But I'm glad you mentioned him. I'm heading to Alabama.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I was going to tell you just my brother-in-law passed away about 4 weeks ago. He was a former Ole Miss quarterback, and he was a legend at Birmingham at a hospital there. Orthopedic surgeon as well.
Your brother was?
My brother-in-law.
Your brother-in-law.
His name was Bruce Neal.
Oh yeah,
at Caraway Medical.
Oh sure, no, it's a. I'm so sorry to hear that. A very, very highly respected doctor.
Yeah, and it was he and Mac Height. You remember Mac?
I do, sure.
They were both played. They were all state football players from Meridian. You know, Mac went on to play for the Oilers, and now he owns about 50 car dealerships in the Southeast. But they were both great, great men.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Gooch.
Yeah. What do you think about Auburn this weekend and Ole Miss?
You know, I think it's a dangerous game for Ole Miss. I mean, they clearly have a better team, which, I mean, Auburn's offense is I wouldn't even call it a work in progress, but
what would you? How about we call it the burner phone game?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are going to try to make much out of this. I mean, I read a columnist on AL.com today, Joseph Goodman, said Lane Kiffin should be fired if he doesn't win this game.
Oh, that's ridiculous. But I mean, Hugh Freeze has so many friends here in Oxford, and I love him too. He's a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing about Hugh Freeze, he's not going to make a big deal about it, and certainly Kiffin is not going to make a big deal about it. And I don't think it's that big of a deal. You're right. I mean, Hugh Freeze.
Right.
Hugh Freeze has put Oxford behind him, but when he went back there what, 2 years ago, it was a great event. I mean, it was mostly a great deal. So, hey, thanks, Gooch. Thank you very, very much. AC is up next.
Mr. Feinbaum, how are you feeling, sir? Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, the rivalry game is coming up. You know, you got so many rivalries. I like that. Alabama-Tennessee, I think Alabama should take this game. They should, or else it's going to be embarrassing. But here's the thing, Mr. Feinbaum. You know, I don't call the station for popularity contest. I call the station because I'm going to have fun. And hopefully, I can have some haters. I love haters. I like that. Only thing I care about is me, my Lord, and my family, and the station. When I say station, I meant Mr. Feinbaum and the team. That's all I care about. So bash, trash, garbage, Nash, I don't give a damn about you. I hate you anyway. I would forever hate you. Why? Because you hated me first. But Jim from Tuscaloosa is right. This show is going down the hill. But the problem is, Jim, The show is not going down the hill. It's the losers that are going down the hill. So that's the correction. I love you, Mr. Feinbaum. I would always love you. Holla.
Dr. Bulldog is in Los Angeles. How are you doing?
Great show, Paul. I want to caution everyone who's throwing dirt on my Georgia Bulldogs because we lost Brock Bowers for a few weeks, the best player in college football in my mind. But we got two four-star tight ends that Kirby Smart recruited, and one is a former five-star. Five-star is Oscar Delt, number four. The two four-stars are Lawson Lucky and Pierce Sperling. Now, they're true freshmen, and nobody can effectively replace Brock Bowers, but don't feel sorry for us. Kirby Smart and Mike Bobo are going to make this thing happen. Now, we're not going to lose to Florida in 2 weeks because we got a bye week this week. Good old-fashioned Southern hate, I call it. They don't like us, and we don't like them, but we're going to hammer them. But then you got the two home games at the crib, Ole Miss and Missouri. We're not going to lose to Lane Kiffin. We're not going to lose to Missouri at the crib. Now, you can make an argument, Paul, that the next game on the road in Knoxville in Tennessee is kind of tricky. That might be a little problematic because they're going to be sky-high for that game at home in Neyland Stadium, 112,000 people. But I'm here to tell you that, in my mind, we're not going to lose a regular season game because November 18th, that'll put it at 5 weeks that Brock Bowers will be out. And I think he's going to be back in four, and they'll probably take it easy until the Tennessee road game. But it's one of those things where it's an unfortunate thing. You know, I go back when we lost Herschel Walker in 81. We played Clemson and Danny Ford, and Herschel Walker had a thumb, you know, and it's one of those things where he played crippled, and we still lost to Homer Jordan, those cats, William Frederick Perry. But the point being is this. Don't throw dirt on us yet. We're still going to be undefeated. And I miss talking smack to my boy Jimmy in Birmingham because, you know, Alabama's got their act together. I can't believe people were throwing dirt on Saban after losing to Texas. I think Alabama's going to run the table. And it's odd for me from being a Georgia fan pulling for Bama because I want to see their asses in the SEC title game. After that, all bets are off, brother, you know. Brock Bowers, in my mind, should have won the Heisman last year. But Caleb Williams won, and he was up for the Heisman this year. But we'll be fine with the tight ends that I mentioned, beginning with Oscar Delp. And I just want to say that, Paul. I love your show, and God bless. Thank you.
Thank you very much. TW is in Georgia, and you're on the air. Hello, TW.
Hey, Paul. Hope you're well.
Thank you.
The SEC shorts that I've been seeing are so funny. Who does the writing? Because, I mean, that is really funny.
You know, TW, I really don't know. I haven't seen one in a couple of years. So,
but let me ask you this. What is the line on the Tennessee-Bama game?
It's about 8.5.
Okay. I like definitely Bama to cover. They've been playing better, their defense. Don't you think everybody would feel better if Jimbo donated his salary until further notice?
I don't think anybody
Wouldn't
cares about Jimbo
bit?
Making money or not. It's just the fact that his offense has been anemic this year. Mike is up next in Florida. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing today? Yeah! I talked to Billy Napier today. They're willing to loan one of our third-string tight ends to Georgia just to make it fair. But, yeah, this is the year of the Gator. You make no mistake about that, son. We're going to whoop them dogs in about 2 weeks.
And on that happy hour note, we'll take a short break. More to come. We'll find out what the latest is with Brock Bowers, what Georgia needs to do without him or can do without him. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Everybody's talking about Brock Bowers. Who better to bring in here than Rusty Menzel from Dogs HQ, always a go-to source on everything Georgia. Rusty, thanks. Great to have you on the show.
Appreciate you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
So give us the read there. I know there's a lot of players, and it's a deep roster, but there's only one Brock Bowers.
Yeah, I mean, you can't sugarcoat this. I mean, this is maybe the best player in the country that is not a quarterback. And I'll say this about Brock Bowers. Him having this tightrope surgery tells you one thing. This guy could not wait to get back to playing for Georgia, and it says a lot about him. But Mike Bobo certainly has his work cut out for him. You look at this individual yesterday, he had his surgery. So you count that four-week window, Paul, and you start getting in. What's the best-case scenario? Probably going to be Tennessee week. In my opinion, that will be 4 weeks from yesterday. That Monday, can he get back then? But regardless of that, I'm confident that everybody, his team, medical personnel, and Georgia staff will be all in agree you can go, because I know Brock Bivers is going to be itching to get back as soon as he can.
And Rusty, help me with this, because from a distance, you cover him and know him. Kirby Smart always seems to be a rather conservative coach when it comes to injuries. So give us what you know about his history and guessing about exactly when we see Brock Bivers playing significant time.
Well, he understands long-term and long game. And when you start talking about Brock Bivers, this is a top five NFL pick. This is one of the best tight ends in the last 20 years in college football, in my opinion. So when you look at him and you say, when's he coming back? Everybody's going to be in agreement. And Georgia's done the tightrope. Listen, Amarius Mims, you want to take the top two prospects at Georgia right now? It's first rounder Amarius Mims. He's coming off tightrope surgery. He had an ankle injury. So Georgia's best two players on paper have been out now. So you look at this situation, and Brock Bivers had to look at Amarius Mims and say, how was yours going? What was this, what was the result there? It looks like Amarius Mims is going to be back for Florida. He's on his four-week timetable as of yesterday. Looks like he's going to try to give it a go this week. I'm expecting him as of now to play against Florida. So I'm sure that Georgia has some results, has some history. Obviously, the biggest tightrope surgery for everybody to understand was Tua Tagovailoa. When he had his, he played 27 days later. So, Paul, if I'm guessing, I got to say right now, I got to say you got to put your eye on that Tennessee week. That Monday, does he practice that Monday?
And I remember when Tua came back, and he looked like he had never had surgery.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you look at that, and it's modern miracle, basically, technology. You go in there, it's only a 25-minute procedure. They go in there and basically put a tie wrap on those two ligaments there, and it speeds up the process. This is not something new. It's something that it really got brought to the front when Tua did that, and he did it the Monday after that SEC championship game, and he played in that game against Oklahoma in the semifinals. So, listen, this guy, Brock Bivers, is a different dude. He's going to want to get back. He is going to be as aggressive as you possibly can to get back with this rehab. So we're going to see. But my target date probably right now is looking at that Monday of Tennessee week. Can he get back in practice?
So we're talking about two big games, though, Florida and Ole Miss in particular, where you're talking about needing to score a lot of points. What does Georgia do in Bivers' place?
Well, you go out and you get a Rah-Rah Thomas and a Dominic Lovett in the offseason. These are guys that are all SEC performers at Mississippi State and Missouri. You need those guys to step up. They're going to have to be an important part of the offense, where Georgia has been primarily 12 personnel with two tight ends for a long time, with Darnell Washington, Brock Bivers, the guys over the last couple of years. Now you got freshman Oscar Delp, who's really going to have to step up, and I believe he can. But you look at Lawson Lucky, another highly talented tight end. How much role does he get? But listen, you got to get Ladd McConkey back. You got to get him healthy. Having Dejan Edwards was huge for Georgia the last couple of games after missing the first three games. So I think Georgia's going to be more spread out offense. I think their offensive line is fantastic. If they can get Amarius Mims back, you got to get Rah-Rah Thomas and Dominic Lovett inserted into the offense a little bit more. You're not going to replace Brock Bivers player by player, but you can do it with a committee, and Georgia's going to take a shot at it.
Rusty, overall, I mean, there was such a narrative in the beginning about what was wrong with this team. Now it's the Bivers questions. Your assessment of this dog team halfway through?
I tell you what, it says a lot that Brock Bivers is fighting to get back. I think that tells you what that locker room is like. This guy, Paul, this guy could walk off right now and never play again. Two-time national champion, all-American. He's going to be a top-five pick. He's going to get $25 million in May, whenever it is. He could leave. He does it. He wants to stay with his teammates. You look at Georgia, Paul, since 2020, they're 44-3. They've won 24 games in a row. One thing about this team, and I keep saying this about Georgia, not going to win every game as a blowout, but they know how to win. 24 games in a row. They've only been behind double digits in the second half, Paul, three times in 24 games, and they found a way to beat Ohio State down 14. They found a way to come back and beat Missouri down 10. A couple weeks ago, they were down to Auburn. So you start talking about winning and culture. It says a lot to me, that decision for Brock Bivers to come back and say, guys, I want to finish this thing off right with you.
Incredible. Let me ask you, you know the ins and outs of this program, and we're all speculating here. I felt really good about Georgia 2 weeks ago, and we came through there. I'm not feeling quite as good. Convince me that all will be well.
Well, the question is the road games. You look at Auburn. They didn't look very good at Auburn. And Carson Beck didn't play particularly well at Auburn. Then you go to Vandy, and you've got a 10-point game in the fourth quarter. So at home, Georgia's gotten better to handle business. I think the biggest question mark, Paul, with Georgia is can they get enough pieces of the puzzle healthy? Can they get Amarius Mims back? Ladd McConkey left that game last week at times with back injuries. Kendall Milton left again. So can they get these pieces of the puzzle back and get Brock Bowers to finish this thing off? Because I can tell you this, you look at that schedule, it's going to ramp up. But when Georgia, November the 18th, heads into Knoxville, that place is going to come unhinged. I don't care what Tennessee does before, between now and then. That Ball Navy is going to be parked in there deep on Wednesday, and they're going to watch that plane for Georgia land in Knoxville. That game, you better circle that one, because Tennessee and Georgia, that's going to be a knockdown drag out in late November in Knoxville.
Last time these two teams met, Tennessee was number one. The last time a number one came to Neyland, Tennessee won. There is a lot of history there. Rusty, really fantastic. We've been wanting to get you on for a long time. I have no idea why today was today, but we will talk to you soon. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Paul.
Great stuff from Rusty Manziel from Dogs HQ. We hit the break. More of your phone calls, more reaction. We'll talk a little bit more about Shane Beamer breaking his foot in frustration. A lot of questions are being raised about that, and he was laughing about it. We will, too, when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, taking your phone calls, and let's check in with Chef up next in Tennessee. Hello, Chef.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are well. Thank you.
We just got a scenario here to run through. You know, we got that big defensive line this year, and it's a very mediocre Alabama offense this year. So we just think down in Tuscaloosa this Sunday or Saturday, we're just going to run through that offense. And we want to know, can our defense be so stiff when we can rush that field Saturday?
Well, Chef, I would rush it at my own I don't know if I'd rush it, but I think the defense of Tennessee is good enough to win the game. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Buck Wild is up next.
Hey, afternoon, Paul. How you doing?
Very well.
Good, good. I got a question about the AP and coaches polls, but if I could, please, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my son, Joshua, and my brand-new daughter-in-law, Pearl. Got married Saturday in Boulder, Colorado. It was a magnificent wedding.
Oh, my. Congratulations to all.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. My question is, you know, you being in the business, what are the strengths and weaknesses of the AP poll and the coaches poll? You know, what are the pros and cons that
lend itself to the accuracy of the poll? I do not pay one bit of attention to the coaches poll because coaches don't vote. They have people do it for them, so I literally never look at it. The AP poll, I sample, but it's just a baseline. It's something that we use until the end of October when the CFP comes out.
I know, but don't both polls have some influence on the CFP?
Neither poll has any influence on the CFP.
Well, no, I meant the people that are in
no,
the
no,
CFP.
No, no, no. When this committee meets, and they will start meeting in about 3 weeks, they decide the top 25 in that room, not by looking at any poll. That, you know, remember the BCS used two wire service polls and then a computer poll, but
this
group does not use any polls.
So they don't give a damn what anybody else thinks.
In theory, they don't. I've always questioned them if they're not somewhat influenced by I don't think the polls influence them, and they cringe every time I say this, but I think talking heads do. I think these guys are human beings. Men and women are human beings. They wake up Sunday morning or Saturday night, and they see the narrative on ESPN. And I think I believe it influences them, although they deny that.
Oh, no, absolutely. You're right. They're humans. And Brock Bowers, I hate that. Best player in the country. And I feel bad for the kid.
Thank you very, very much. He'll be back. I think Rusty made that pretty clear. Davis is up next. Hello, Davis.
Hey, Paul. This is Davis from Jacksonville, Alabama. I wanted to call today and talk to you about the Brock Bowers injury a little bit. And I know that we're going to have some other offensive weapons, you know, like Rah-Rah, Thomas, and Rosemary Jack Saint. Those two guys are going to be big with him out. But I was also going to talk about, you know, not only are we going to need some offensive guys to step up with Bowers out, we're going to need our defense to step up a little bit too with these next slate of games coming up, particularly the Ole Miss game and the Tennessee game. I think that those two games are definitely going to be our two toughest. I am more worried about the Ole Miss at home than I am Tennessee. I just feel like Ole Miss has just looked like a better football team throughout the whole year. And I just kind of wanted to see what you thought about our next slate of games without Bowers.
I think it's really the Tennessee game is the one that would concern me the most because of Tennessee's defense is really very stout. Their offense is not. I think Ole Miss is probably the most explosive in terms of a team trying to come back. But we really need to see what Georgia looks like against Florida before we start coming to all these conclusions. Jimmy is in Dallas. So hello, Jimmy.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well. Thanks for the call.
Listen, I wanted to touch on the Florida, Georgia as well. I really just want to get your input. I seen them play against Utah. They were a mess. You know, they come out, they beat Tennessee, and then slowly backslid again, Charlotte, and you saw what happened with Kentucky. But after watching them play against South Carolina, getting Arliss Boardingham and Williams more touches on the ball, how do you feel that's going to carry over into the Georgia game? I know they don't have Bowers, but I'm sure there's going to be some way they can step up and help out there. But
yeah, I don't have any doubt that Georgia, you're going to be, coming out of the Florida game, going who is this guy? Georgia has enormous talent behind Bowers. To me, it's not about the talent. It's just Bowers was so good with the intangibles. Thanks for the call. Appreciate your phone call. Let's check out Steve in Alabama. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Hello.
Yeah, we're on the
air.
Hey,
Paul.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Paul, what's O'Brien Kelly's most famous quote since you guys saw him on TV a while ago?
You say Brian
Kelly's?
What's
his most famous quote?
I don't know.
You don't know? You don't remember what he said at the Alabama-Notre Dame National Championship game?
No, I don't.
They asked him, what could he do to beat Alabama. See, he said Alabama not come back out in the second half.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty funny.
You're going to tighten up.
Yeah, I was at the game, so I probably missed that interview. They don't have a TV very nearby. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Jason is at Augusta, in Augusta. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, as far as Florida goes in 2 weeks, I'm not really concerned about them. The only game I'm concerned about is Tennessee game, and hopefully Brock will be back before then. What do you think about the Alabama game this weekend? You got anything to say about that one, Alabama-Tennessee? I think Tennessee could probably pull upset. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I mean, they could. I mean, they're capable of it. I just don't know what to make out of Tennessee's offense. To me, they're going to need to produce some points, and I don't think you have to score a lot to beat Alabama, but you probably have to be in the 20s, and can they get there?
Well, I think they can. And,
after watching the A&M game, what makes you think that?
Well, I mean, you look at the Alabama A&M game. I mean, that was an ugly game too, Paul. So,
but Alabama was at Texas A&M.
It's one half dozen the other.
I mean, the difference was one team was on the road and one team was at home. I think that's a big factor.
Yeah, I think so too. But, like I said, I hope Alabama will run the table. I think Georgia's going to run the table, and I look forward to the SEC championship game. I think whenever we get our players back and all the injuries, I think we take the SEC, and we're looking at three straight.
Thank you very much for the call. Buddy is up next. Hey, Buddy, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I was going to talk a little bit about Ole Miss football. I go all the way back before Archie, when at one time Ole Miss was kind of relevant in the SEC and the national thing. And I'm happy about this year so far. Disappointed in the Alabama game. But, yeah. But I want to hear your thoughts on the Auburn game.
Buddy, I think it's a tricky game for Ole Miss. I mean, Ole Miss has a better team, has had a couple of really big wins, including the LSU game. But I think winning at Jordan-Hare, especially at night, is problematic.
I agree.
I think that's the wild card.
All right. Well, thank you for taking my call, Paul.
Thank you very, very much. Marty is up next. Hey, Marty.
Hey, Paul, it's Marty from Alabama. Hey, quick question about Coach Freeze. Is this just a free chicken gimme year, or when can we start to criticize the coaching at Auburn?
Well, Marty, I think Hugh Freeze deserves criticism right now. I mean, I have no earthly idea what his offensive game plan was against Auburn. Do you?
No, I don't. And I think that there's some folks around here that say that, you know, he didn't get a good heads up on his quarterback situation, and we're going to need another year to get that right. And I'm just wondering if the quarterback is all that's wrong with the football team right now.
Well, I have found some of Hugh's comments to be really curious. He doesn't seem quite like he seems different. Maybe I'm just imagining things, but we'll talk more about that. It's an interesting proposition, and that is a really big game. We'll take a short break. Tyler Booker is on the offensive line for the Crimson Tide, the much maligned offensive line. We'll find out what that unit's all about when Tyler joins us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.